KBGG Des Moines, a Cumulus sports station. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Online at 1700thechamp.com. Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. And what a day. Sunny outside. We are in double digits in temperature. It's like a heat wave. Finally could drive on roads without snow all over. Hope everybody's having a great afternoon. I'm glad you're coming in and joining me. At 4:20, we're going to have Kevin Lehman on, talking college basketball, and then 5:20 and 5:40, Jeremy's coming back in. We're going to do some NFL and talk a little Hawkeyes, because he'll have the Hawkeye huddle after my show today. So welcoming Jeremy back. I'm like, you're going to be in the building. Let's go. Talk some football. A crazy day. We're going to get into the Carson Wentz trade here in just a second. Another big one is Perseverance. It's our Mars rover. They're 127 million miles away, and they've landed. They hit their landing spot, and it's already sending back pictures. That's pretty amazing, and we're a long way from one small step when we're sending pictures back that quickly. So congratulations to NASA and everybody involved. And, you know, a lot of that comes from the private sector, too. Private sector helping Elon Musk, all these guys trying to help and trying to see what we can learn from Mars and other places. So congratulations. That's a big day. Last night, Naomi Osaka takes down Serena Williams, is going to the finals against Brady, and Novak Djokovic is into the men's final. And I didn't see the other final yet. So, I mean, the other person going to the final, so I'll get that to you when I can. If anybody was worried about the National Football League and the owners, and, you know, they didn't have fans, and, you know, they had us feeling sorry for them. Well, it didn't affect their salary cap. Salary cap went up a little bit, set at $180 million. Now, the one thing that the National Football League does, and I think baseball is headed in this direction if it's not already there, that's the minimum that you can spend. You can go over the cap. You just have to pay a penalty for going over the cap. And there's some pretty big numbers over the cap. The New Orleans Saints are $65 million over the cap. The Eagles are $41.5 million over the cap. Now, some of that, they're still taking a pretty good cap hit for Carson Wentz. I think it's $25 million. The LA Rams are $25 million. The Falcons are $23 million. The Chiefs are $18 million. The Steelers are $14 million. The Packers are $13 million. The Raiders were $9 million, the Vikings were $5 million, and the Lions were $1.8 million. And it's kind of interesting. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10. And seven out of those 10 had winning records. So maybe what you're looking at is teams that are, you know, sometimes willing to go over that salary cap. Maybe you do get paid off in having a winning season. A couple of them did not make the playoffs, but they had winning seasons. So, very interesting. One of the biggest issues in the NFL right now are the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they're going to do with Ben Roethlisberger. Being a Baltimore Ravens fan, I'm not the biggest Ben Roethlisberger fan, because he's beaten my team so many times in comeback wins that it's not even funny. And my good friend Jamie Gipple, being the Steeler fan that he is, I don't know where he stands on Ben Roethlisberger. We'll have to find out. But you know, the ownership and the general manager and the coach, all of them together, are saying that we would love to have Ben back for one more year, but they're not going to take the salary cap hit, and they're not going to pay him $40 million. So you're going to see how much Ben is willing to take a salary cut. And you will tell, by the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers are what they'll do in free agency or what they do in the draft if they're looking for a quarterback. They pretty much today, if you're Mason Rudolph, you know that you're not going to be the heir apparent and be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they made that pretty clear today. So I don't know if they have who they're looking for on their team besides Ben, but they're definitely not taking a $40 million cap hit for Ben for this season. So the big news of the day, Carson Wentz gets traded to the Indianapolis Colts. It's been an ongoing situation with him and the Eagles, and we can kind of get into it, but let's look at it from the Indianapolis Colts perspective right now, since they're the ones that traded for him. You know, they just got done with Phillip Rivers and had a good year, made the playoffs. With Phillip Rivers, who is a really good quarterback, but not very mobile. A great teammate. If you ask anybody from the Chargers and the Colts, he'll tell you he's a great teammate. Carson Wentz, I always thought the perception was he was a good teammate. Once all this started coming out and how things were going in Philadelphia, all of a sudden unnamed sources started coming out saying that maybe he wasn't a great teammate. So I'm not for sure where we're at there. But I believe that Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than Phillip Rivers, and just alone with his mobility, which opens up a playbook for the Indianapolis Colts that they didn't have that with Phillip Rivers. If there was a heavy rush or a blitz, he just couldn't move. So he either threw the ball away or took a sack. So for the Indianapolis Colts, it looks like a pretty good trade. They traded for a third round pick this year, a second round pick next year, unless he plays in like 80% of his games. And if he plays in 80% of his games, then it could become a first round pick. But if the Indianapolis Colts are playing the way that they should play with Carson Wentz or with anybody, they're very talented on both sides of the ball. You're going to see that draft, even the number a first round draft pick is going to be quite low in the draft. I think if I'm in Indianapolis and I'm a Colts fan, I'm excited. I have a top pick quarterback and who was drafted in 2016. And, you know, not everything was good in Philadelphia. When the Indianapolis Colts coach was in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz had some of his best years. Frank Reich moved on to the Colts, so they have, you know, they understand each other. They know where they're coming from. So I think that for the Indianapolis Colts, it's a good trade. I have an issue, you know, but here's the thing. It used to be in the NFL that if you had a player, you were just stuck with him, and teams aren't doing that anymore. They're paying off and getting out of contracts, which you can see it's still not hurting them since the salary cap's going up and they're able to spend money. But to get Carson Wentz, to draft him in 2016, they gave the Cleveland Browns two first round draft picks, a second, a third, and a fourth round pick. So they gave them five draft picks, two of them first round, and helped, in a way, rebuild the Cleveland Browns to where they are today, just for the rights to pick Carson Wentz. Philadelphia, I know the fans had soured on Carson Wentz, and I feel for him because I think underneath everything with Doug Peterson, and especially after he lost Frank Reich as his offensive coordinator, the offensive line didn't play as well. They had a lot of injuries. They haven't drafted well. They haven't drafted weapons well. They haven't had a good running game for a while. They picked a wide receiver from TCU when they had a chance to get Claypool that went to Pittsburgh. I mean, they've had some mistakes. They haven't been run very well. As we can tell, what I told you earlier, they're in salary cap purgatory right now. And so they're going to lose some more and not a lot of draft picks, and didn't get a lot of draft picks for Carson Wentz. So I'm curious to see how everybody feels. I've had some texts and tweets today. You know, I'm pretty much evenly split on both sides, just to, you know, there's a lot of people. I think the majority of people, if you really sat down and you really looked at it, there's a lot of issues on both sides. And I think there's some blame to go around on both sides. The one thing that Carson Wentz did do, he played injured, he played hurt, he came back early from injuries. I mean, those are things that you have to measure when you're looking at the type of player that he is. And it's also, and through this, and let's, not that I want to use the word divorce, but they are divorcing. They're separating from each other. When you start hearing things coming out, you didn't hear them from Carson Wentz. Now, maybe you were hearing it from Carson Wentz's people, and maybe that was some of the people that were out there on his side stating stuff. The Philadelphia Eagles actually didn't say much either. There were a lot of unnamed sources from football executives and football players. So that's always interesting to see. But you have that a lot in the NFL right now. The New England Patriots do not have a quarterback for next year. The Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to figure out if they have a quarterback. The New Orleans Saints have to figure out what they're going to do. I think everybody's just waiting maybe for this weekend to see if Drew Brees is retiring. That's where all the media, especially down in New Orleans, are pointing that way, that he's going to retire. So they need to figure out if, you know, is Jameis Winston the answer? Is their multi-purpose quarterback? And I just did a horrible thing because I'm not going to be able to remember his name, and I hate when I do that. It'll come to me here in a second. I don't think he's an every down quarterback. So there's another team that's right in that mix. The Atlanta Falcons are in that mix. Matt Ryan's getting up there in age. They have a new coaching staff. You have issues all over with teams. You have quarterbacks out there. Marcus Mariota's out there. And the big one right now for the Philadelphia Eagles is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is Jalen Hurts, a every down, 16 games a year quarterback in the NFL. I think he is. Anybody that can go to Alabama and have the success that he had, go through the turmoil of Tua coming and losing your job when you got hurt, leaves, goes to Oklahoma, plays amazing at Oklahoma in two of the biggest programs in the country. And I mean, I think he has the capability of being really good. That just opens up a lot of, you know, when you're looking down the road for next year, there's a lot of things that are going to happen. And talking about cap space, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, the runners up, have some cap issues. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now are sitting really good, and they're sitting really good with their cap space and trying to keep people. Their biggest thing is they're trying to keep Godwin, their receiver, and keep him in tow to keep him and Mike Evans together with Tom Brady. I'm thinking that's probably going to happen. But when there's turmoil in the NFL and all of it revolves around the quarterback position, that makes the offseason a lot of fun, and that is what the NFL is looking for. The Iowa State duel with West Virginia was canceled for over this weekend. I think there's COVID protocol issues at Iowa State. We were talking a little bit about, there's a lot of teams out there right now that are looking for quarterbacks, and you have three quarterbacks in this draft. I think everybody understands that Trevor Lawrence is the number one pick, and Trevor Lawrence is a pretty much a plug and play quarterback for the NFL at 6'6 and fast with a strong arm. You have Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance out there, and everybody's trying to figure out where they're going to, you know, where's the right spot to take them? Do I move up to take them? I think you're seeing with what the Eagles gave up to go up and get Carson Wentz and what they got for Carson Wentz at the end, maybe moving up has more issues with your program than what you thought. So, I mean, that's going to be an interesting thing. And two baseball notes real quick. Tim Tebow is retiring from minor league baseball. Tim Tebow has a lot of things that he's doing in his life and wanting to play baseball and enjoy something that he liked. He did it for 5 years. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he didn't listen and didn't give it up. If you're wondering what you want, if you have a talented baseball player, keep working with him, folks, because Fernando Tatis, a 22-year-old, signed a 14-year, $340 million contract last night. The infield for the Padres next year is $800 million. That's a lot of money to spend on baseball players. That's a lot of money to spend on baseball players in your infield. So it's pretty exciting. If you didn't watch baseball in the bubble last year, Fernando Tatis is an amazing baseball player. Very, very just emotional and exciting to watch. So it's a really cool thing for the Padres that they're bringing these people in and competing. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing you sports your way every day. Kevin Lehman coming in here and talking NCAA basketball after the break.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back into Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Happy Thursday. If you're looking for a sports betting app, look no further than BetMGM. Download the app to your phone. Easy to use, matching dollars on first bets and great parlays. If you're going to bet sports in Iowa, look no further than BetMGM. I got a couple of bets riding tonight, and I have Kevin Lehman, our NCAA expert, to come in here and talk a little bit about that. Kev, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Got a little bit warmer weather, so I'm excited. I'm taking a ski tip. To Galena this weekend. It's my first weekend of no basketball since December 1st.
Oh, my goodness. That's a long time. When I gave you a call, you said this is a big night. There's a lot of big games out there. Probably none bigger for the Hawkeyes than Iowa-Wisconsin.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it might be bigger for Wisconsin because they've dropped four of their last seven. And this one jumped out at me, Steen. Wisconsin's lost at home to Minnesota, to Maryland, and, of course, Ohio State, no shame in that. But this is a Wisconsin team that's struggled a little bit because they don't have that big crowd in the Kohl Center. And this one, stat really bombed me. That loss to Michigan, their two big guys, Nate Reavers and Micah Potter, they had the same amount of rebounds we got that night.
Yeah,
zero.
That is not good. And that is not a good. That is not a good stat when you're going to be facing the Iowa Hawkeyes either. So, you know, Iowa, they want to finish in the top four in the Big Ten, and they want to get a three seed in the NCAA tournament. That's kind of their goals to start with. And you know, this is a game you have to win. It's an away game. If you win this game, that puts you up. But they got a tough schedule coming in.
Oh, this schedule is really backloaded for Iowa. You know, after this Wisconsin game, Penn State at home, but then it gets really tough at Ohio State, at Michigan, and Wisconsin back here. And I agree with you, Steen. I think this is an Iowa team that's on the three line. I don't see how they can get any higher unless we have a real meltdown by Illinois or Villanova or someone like that in front of them. But this certainly is a big game because they want to stay on that three line. You don't want to drop in that four and five spot.
Yeah, that makes it a lot more difficult. I think a couple of wins is going to keep them, you know, with the double bye with the Big Ten. So I think they're okay there. But yeah, they're looking long term and very interesting. A difficult schedule for Drake last week. A couple of games, you had you and I early, then you had Loyola, and then you and I again. That is not an easy road, and they came out 3-1. Darren DeVries has to be so happy.
See, it was brutal. They had 6 games in 12 days, and not only that, you have an emotional game with an in-state rival. You lose arguably your best or second best player and Tank Hemphill with a broken foot. Then you have to turn around in the biggest series of the weekend against Loyola on that Saturday Sunday where you have to get at least a split. And then you gotta go back to your in-state rival, Northern Iowa, as they did last night. And that game concerned me. I didn't know if the Bulldogs would have enough emotion left in the tank to get a win up there, because Northern Iowa's had their struggles, as we know, but they've had some times when they played really good basketballs. So that was a big win for the Bulldogs. Now they can't afford another loss, because if you look at who they're playing coming down the stretch here, these are quad 3 and quad 4 games. They would destroy this resume for the Bulldogs. They've got Evansville at home on that 2-game series, and they have to go to Bradley. Bradley's struggling right now. They got a couple players suspended, so that's those are two that the Bulldogs have to get. They got to finish here with 4 wins in their next 4 ones.
And what do they have to do? Do they have to win the Missouri Valley, or do they just have to be, you know, maybe in the get into the championship game against, you know, have a rematch against Loyola? I mean, is that what it's going to take?
If they're in the championship game with Loyola, they're in this thing for sure. If they got beat in the semis, that makes things a little more edgy. And here's what's tough about it. If you try to figure out from past experiences where this team would end up, I'll give you an example. 2020, we can't really talk about net because there was no tournament. We do know that Northern Iowa ended up with a 48 net. Remember, they won at Colorado, but they were still, most people thought, would be on the outside looking in after that loss to Drake. So in 2019, we can look at the net. Belmont got in with a 47. And to put this in perspective, Drake today's got a 34 net. They're at 30. They went to 40 at the loss to Loyola. They beat Loyola. They come back to 35. They jumped up one more spot. So Belmont gets in with a 47. Temple gets in with a 46. But NC State gets left out in 2019 with a 33 net. But they also take St. John's with a 73 net. So we kind of felt that Drake, if they stay in the mid-30s or below, they'll be in good shape.
And I agree with that. And you know, the haves and the have-nots in the NCAA, you know, there's a lot of blue bloods that aren't playing very well, but they still have, you know, I think this is the difference, too, is before, when you were looking, and I know they say they don't look at stuff like this, but it has to be in the back of somebody's mind. You know, if you had North Carolina, or you had Indiana, or you had Michigan, and you had teams that traveled and brought fans, I mean, that was one of the things. Iowa State, I mean, they played really well, and it was back in the good old days at Iowa State. But fans went. Now with no fans, you know, and I'm thinking, and I was reading through, and I wanted to ask you about this. So I'm reading through this yesterday, and all these guys are sitting in a little room, and you know, they're going over the overall road and neutral records. I mean, that's one. I mean, everything is pretty much a neutral because you don't have fans. They're looking at your non-conference record and road record, and they were asked the other day, you know, what's going to happen if you have a team? You have a team like, well, let's take Iowa, who's played most of its game. It could have 20 games, and Michigan could have 12. I understand it's not an easy job trying to get 64 teams or 68 teams. But sometimes I think they're making it harder. I like the days, the older days, where it was just a bunch of guys in the room. These are who we saw. These are the best teams. And this is the way it's going to be. And now they plug all this stuff into a computer. And sometimes the computer doesn't take into account, you know, important items.
What you're talking about, Steve, going back to the old eyeball test. But they can't defend themselves in those situations, so they use the analytics, the KenPom, and those types of things as analytics to do it. But you're right. This is going to be a tough year because you're going to have an uneven playing field about who gets selected. I'm not concerned about Michigan being in because they're in.
Right.
My concern is when you get down those last four byes, are you going to take a Maryland team that's going to be so-so in the Big Ten over, say, Belmont gets beat in the Ohio Valley Conference Championship, and those one-bid leagues that have some really good teams. St. Louis, A-10, you keep them out and you take those 500 teams in the Big Ten, SEC and so forth. That's what we've seen happen in the past. And remember this, Steve, remember this. We don't have people coming to these games, but you got eyeballs on the TV screen. And these administrators in this room, they're negotiating TV contracts for their league. They understand that part of it. And I think that's a detriment. That's one of the things we don't talk about when they do it sectionally because they're human. And they've got to negotiate, or their league's going to negotiate a TV contract that's going to bring a windfall of dollars to them. So the more eyeballs, the higher your viewership is in this NCAA tournament, the better you can negotiate that contract in the future.
If you're looking at a weakness with, like, let's take the top two teams with Gonzaga and Baylor. Do you see a glaring weakness in either one of these teams?
Well, most people are going to tell you Baylor guards better than Gonzaga. There are some people out there that like Baylor better than Gonzaga because of that. And we know this in past history, and this has been the knock on the Hawkeyes, you got to be able to guard because it becomes, in the NCAA tournament, a slower game, more half-court. Your TV timeouts are longer, so your ability to execute in the half court is premium, and your ability to make stops in the half court, it's not such an up-and-down game. So some people like Baylor because of that, because Gonzaga, and I've had said this, how much better can Gonzaga get playing in the Big West? Because they haven't been challenged for so long, where, of course, Baylor's been shut down by COVID, but in a normal year, they're going against Kansas, Tech, Texas, Oklahoma, West Virginia, and you're getting better by playing against those types of teams. Gonzaga does not have that luxury.
I agree with that. And one of the things that you didn't mention there, and we have to talk about it a little bit, you didn't mention the Iowa State Cyclones there with being a tough test, and that's who Baylor's going to come back after COVID. They're going to play Iowa State. Another kind of a lackluster loss. And the big debate last night was that he's been playing a lot of the older kids a lot of minutes and not seeing a lot of the younger kids play and get some minutes and make some mistakes and do that. And I listened to a couple of guys go back and forth, and one saying, hey, he needs to win a couple of games. And the other one saying, well, he also needs to see what they have for next year. That's just a sticky situation for a coach that's having a year that no one expected him. I mean, I don't think anyone expected him to be, you know, over 500 in the Big 12, but I don't think anybody expected them not to win a game, Kevin.
Well, if you look at that schedule, you know, Oklahoma, Lon Kruger's team is playing as well as anybody in the Big 12. Austin Reeves, are a big guard at transfer in Wichita State, has been exceptional for them. Then you got, as you said, Baylor. So you're looking at TCU at home. Maybe their chance to get a win. But I tell you this about Steve Prohm. He's always tried to bring his young guys along slowly. And every coach wants to win. They're going to play the best guys that give them the opportunity to win. And Steve Prohm puts a heavy influence on experience when he goes through that. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation on what's going to happen with that job position for Coach Prohm at Iowa State. And, you know, he's in a tough situation. You've got some injuries. You got youngsters. You got COVID. I don't think any coach has ever had to deal with the type of things that they're seeing this year. It's not just Iowa State. You know, we talked about the Blue Bloods. You're seeing it at Duke. You're seeing it at Kentucky. We're seeing it all across the board.
We got about 2 minutes, and once again, or 3 minutes, and we're talking to Kevin Lehman. He's at K Lehman Sports. Jalen Johnson leaving Duke, 10 games left in the season, 7 games left in the season, wants to prepare for the NBA draft. I'm not going to say a troubled young man, but a young man that's had trouble from being 14 and all the way to now. Probably not a good look for him, and it looks like after he left Duke, played a really good game and maybe gelled a little bit better. What's your take on leaving with like 10 games left? That's not a good look going into the NBA draft.
I'm so glad you brought up Jalen Johnson because I have a real good opinion on this one. Why is he leaving? To get ready for the NBA draft. Who's going to get him ready, Steve? Is it going to be his workout guy, his uncle? Who gets you more prepared for the NBA than a guy named Mike Krzyzewski?
Yep.
This makes no sense whatsoever. Krzyzewski's put more guys in the NBA than Jalen Johnson's ever going to have work him out. There's more to the story that we don't know. And it's I don't know if we're over here because, you know, Duke always hires a publicist and comes out with a party line, what's best for him and his family. But think about it. Krzyzewski's going to get you ready for the NBA more than anyone else out there, other than maybe John Calipari.
Yeah, and I just I don't understand, and I get it. I've coached at the AAU level and watched parents and I mean it's you just leaving going, how's this ever going to work? And one of I was listening earlier on Tiki and Tierney today, and they were talking that the NCAA, it's changed. It went from one and dones, and you could come in and win a national championship and have a bunch of one and dones. And now it's coming. If you have, I mean, you like Iowa playing well with Luka Garza and Gonzaga with what they've brought back, intertwined with having one and dones. Just having, you know, Calipari going out and getting 5-1 and duns, and you can see it's even hurting Kentucky and all those schools. It's not easy to get them to gel, and that means a lot in college basketball.
Well, we've said this for a number of years now. Villanova set the standard that old, you know, grow old and you're going to be better. And so I hope the NBA would get rid of the you have to play 1 year rule. Because I think if that happened, college basketball would be much better. Because think about this. Don't you identify with guys like Jordan Bohannon, Luka Garza have been at that school for 4 years? And I heard this on a podcast the other day, a big-time ACC fan, you know, probably my age. He said, you know, 20 years ago, I could name – he was an NC State backer. He goes, I could name every starter for North Carolina. I could name every starter for Duke, for Virginia. He goes, now I got no idea.
Yep, I'm there.
Come in. Go so fast, and I think that's what's going to hurt college basketball more than anything, your inability to identify with guys. And then you follow those guys in the NBA. I look at NBA rosters now, and I say, where did he play at?
Right.
Because these guys, you don't know what college they came from. Back in the day, I knew Larry Bird in Indiana State. I knew Magic Johnson. You knew all those guys. Isaiah Thomas, you followed them in college. And that's another reason why I would watch the NBA. Now I don't watch much NBA other than when Nick Nurse is. Yep. On the sideline.
And that's what I'm with you there. And they're coming. He's coming back. They're going to be good. Kevin, as always, thank you. Your expertise is so much fun to have on the radio. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Thanks, Kev. Kevin Lehman. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I'm going to come back and do a segment on NCAA basketball next.
Nothing's off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Happy Thursday and welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ. You can go to the website at 1700thechamp.com and check out all kinds of sports action. If you're looking for a sports betting app, look no further than BetMGM. Download app to your phone. It's easy to use, matching dollars on first bets and great parlay deals. If you're going to bet sports in Iowa, look no further than BetMGM. So one of the things about having a show that goes from 4 to 6, I missed the Iowa game today. I kind of want to watch Caitlin play again. Live, the Iowa women did not have a good first half. I think they were down 12 at halftime. They came back and won 96-78. Caitlin finished with 32, 17 in the fourth quarter as they defeat Penn State. I think they outscored them 52-29 in the second half. So I don't know what Lisa Bluder said at halftime, but it worked. And congrats to the Iowa men coming up next. Be interesting. A big game for them tonight, playing in at Wisconsin. Wisconsin, as you just got done, and I want to say once again thanks to Kevin Lehman for coming in. His basketball knowledge, and it's even better once we don't have so many things to talk about, that to get some stories and just hear some of the places he's been, some of the coaching jobs he's had, and some of the people that were his mentors, and all the fun that he has discussing basketball is just it's just a ton of fun. Our off-air talks are, I look forward to them all the time. But Wisconsin's had a couple of down games, and they get Iowa at home. They have a return match then at the end of the season before the Big Ten tournament. Once again, the things that the Hawkeyes are looking for, they're looking for a top four finish that gets them double byes. So they're a top four seed in the Big Ten and trying to stay on that three line for the NCAA tournament. So one thing that came up today, and as an Iowa State fan, I'm always looking for things to be happy about. And they talked a little bit about it today, about the pedestrian bridge that will go across University. So if you're over where the intramural fields are and where parking is, on the east side, that you have a way to get across the busy street. It's a bridge, and it'll be, it's one of the, it's the secondary thing that came after what they're finishing up right now, which is the athletic center and the new north entrance. And this will kind of connect down and get you into the north entrance, and then lead you to, a little robust community area where there's restaurants and bars that are where, so if you're aware of like where the all the RVs park and trailers park during football games, they're getting ready to move those over across the street to the east, and actually having lots there with electrical hookups. So maybe moving the, so they're not as close to the stadium, but giving them electrical hookups and solid areas to be in their own little area. I think that would be an upgrade. I'll be curious. I will make sure that I talk to my good buddy Mike Lacey and see what Mike thinks. He's always parked in that lot with his RV and enjoys that. We enjoy being there with him, and it's a lot of fun. And we have many friends. I think that's an interesting thing. But to keep all the people from running across the street, or the type of traffic jams that it does, that'll be a nice change. And I have to also, I just popped right in my head, Eric Waters is another one that we hang out with up there with his RV. I think these guys will like it. I think it'll give them a little bit more room, a little bit more room to maneuver. But having the electrical hookups, I think, will be a big deal. So once again, Jamie's thinking out of the box, and when you're looking to get people to come up, and especially after a lot of people missed this season due to COVID and not having things and not being able to tailgate. I mean, when you're an Iowa State fan, that's so much fun, and we all know that. And when you don't have that, we are there to watch the football game, but we are there to be an Iowa State family too. And that was missed. So that is coming to fruition. I think I can't wait to get to see some pictures of the training center, the athletic center, and you're also seeing I think he said, who were we talking to? We were talking to somebody less. Oh, it was Maddie Nelson said that the Olson building. So what would be, it was the building that was right along when you're walking into that north entrance there, is almost gone. And to be really honest, we drove up there to see our two youngest boys this week, but it was so dark we couldn't see, so I didn't even get to see that. So try to get up there this weekend and take a look, because it's exciting, and as an Iowa State fan, I'm extremely happy. Another person that's extremely happy today is Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is now a Indianapolis Colt. Gives him a new start, a new beginning at a place. I'm not saying that he wasn't wanted in Philadelphia. I think there's some people that are sad to see him go. I think it had run its course. I don't think, even with a coaching change, I don't think it was to be. I actually think they made the coaching change maybe to see what they have in Jalen Hurts. I've seen a lot of people today say they still need to draft a quarterback. I think you underestimate how good Jalen Hurts could be. I think he's, there's not very many people that have come into the NFL and in three games have passed for over 800 yards and ran for over 200 yards. I think the only one that's done that is Jalen Hurts. So, I mean, it's kind of the way the NFL is trending. It's not the Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, I can't move very fast and get out of the way. It's a run around league. Baker Mayfield's on the run. A lot of these quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, I'm one of those. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I'm one of those who would like to see Lamar Jackson take a five-step drop and actually look at receivers and throw the ball down the field. So I hope that happens this year. If that happens, I think I'm going to have a very good year. So, but I think he's happy, and it's going to, it's a new beginning. And with the salary cap increasing today to $180 million when they were saying that, the world was going to end because they didn't have fans and they weren't going to have money and they weren't going to have time to, the salary cap is going to be lower and you're going to have to cut people, and it ended up not being true. So I think we're pretty good there. One thing that I want to mention in the next segment when I start out, University of Iowa baseball was put on COVID hiatus for 10 days. One of the baseball players came out today and posted something on Twitter, Ben Norman. He's the captain of that team. He's a fifth-year senior. And I'm going to go through it, talk about it, and see what my audience thinks. I think he has a good point, and we'll see what happens. One more thing. So we had the Daytona 500 this past weekend, and now they start going on smaller tracks, which are, I think, is a lot more fun to watch than watching the Daytona 500 where everybody's bunched together in two lines and causing crashes. But Roush Racing was talking today that they're going to be the first NASCAR team to be carbon neutral with their greenhouse gas emission. I don't quite understand all of it. I do have a couple of buddies who are huge NASCAR fans. I'm going to give a call and have them come in and, talk about that. That's one of the things that everybody had some issues, during COVID. We've had a couple, we had Black Lives Matter, but we also had a lot of environmental stuff, and NASCAR is trying to do a better job about being carbon neutral stepping out and trying to in places where they have races at and doing a better job of understanding. So it's an exciting thing, and hopefully it's a wave of the future. And I think people will be okay with that. I think, if you could drive 170 miles an hour instead of 200 miles an hour, but you're doing it in a better way to save lives and everything, I think that's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. So I'm curious to see what people will think about NASCAR, trying to be carbon neutral. That'll be an interesting thing. So I'm going to come back at the top of the hour. We're going to talk a little bit about the Iowa Hawkeyes, and then we'll move on to a little bit more football and some NCAA basketball. You've been listening to Steve on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I'm going to read something from Ben Norman and the Iowa Hawkeyes next.